Well, today is an important Torah portion because it speaks about the giving of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Israel when they came out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai, and he entered into a covenant of the law with Israel. And so it's really important, a really important Torah portion. I encourage you to read through it. Let me just share just some announcements. You know, before we have, actually Jerry's going to be coming today and giving a message. He's going to be talking about the art of delegation from Yitro, you know, for this week's parashah. So I'm doing what the scriptures say, art of delegating, Jerry to read the script, to do the message today. So that's good. We need to pass the blessing around. And so let me just share just a brief, some announcements. Just want to remind you that don't rush away after the service. You know, come downstairs. We have a wonderfully decorated room, and we're going to be eating the seven species of the Promised Land. We're going to be listening to I'm going to be giving a little bit of a teaching about Tu B'Shvat, prophetic nature of it, and also we're going to be watching some videos, having some worship time. You know, it's just going to be a really special time, so please don't rush away. You know, come downstairs after the service and enjoy this time together with us. And also, you'll have opportunity to plant some trees. So, you know, we'll talk about that as well. Plant some trees in Israel, that is. You don't have to go to Israel to plant those trees, even though we love to go to Israel. But anyways, I'll show you an easy way to do it. Okay, so just basically, then we have this coming week, we continue our series of studies on the book of Revelation. And actually, this coming Thursday is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Something, a day that, you know, that the United Nations, surprisingly, who has been known to be anti-Semitic, you know, they have established a special day in the year to honor and to remember this special time in history. And so to begin our study on Wednesday evening, we're going to begin by focusing on International Holocaust Day and, you know, showing a couple of video clips on that and speaking on that and to pray for Israel as well. So that's going to happen on Wednesday evening. So I invite you to come. We had a great turnout last week, and both by Zoom and in person, and we're, you know, the topic last week was Revelation is not as complicated as you think, you know, and so it was it was a good teaching. And this particular week we're going to be, I'm not sure, the topic next week will be the dragon's final assault against the people of God. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that on this week at 7 o'clock. Also, we brought in a fresh delivery of produce for the Joseph Storehouse. So there's lots of manna, bread, there's eggs and meat available in the storehouse. So today, if you have a need, make sure that you visit the storehouse. And we have a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables that are available for you to use. Also, Cobb's Bakery, we got a bit of a break there, so it closes at 8 p.m., so we don't, you know, it makes it a little bit easier for those who are doing the bread after the study, so that's going forward. And also, we're in the process of revising our telephone directory, and so if you'd like your name to be included, please fill out the form that's on the table. If you'd like to have your name in the directory, you know, then that would be great. We'd love to have your name there so we can keep in touch with you. And then also, finally, our tithes and offerings. You know, traditionally, the beginning of the year is when tithes tend to drop off. But remember that we are to be stewards. We are to, you know, have not neglect our stewardship. And we're to remember to bring our tithes into the storehouse. And so Malachi 3:10, the scripture we've all heard many times before, bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. There may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. And so God's promise is that if we are obedient in giving our tithes and offerings, that he will bless us because of that. So remember that as well at the end of the service. Okay, I believe that's it for the announcements. So we're going to have Jerry come, and he's going to be speaking from this week's parasha, Yitro, when Jethro gave Moses advice of, you know, this great multitude of people that came out of Egypt, you know, 2 million people. Moses basically had most of the responsibility for that, but, you know, he delegated it to others. And so that's what Jerry will be speaking on today.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome again in the name of our Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you for all visitors that are joining us this morning in worshiping God. I hope this is not the first and the last that you come here, but this is the beginning. Amen? Amen. This week, Parashia is Jethro. Jethro in Hebrew. In the Old Testament or Tanakh, Jethro is described as a priest of Midian from Kenite clan, with whom Moses took refuge after he killed the Egyptians. He was a fellow descendant of Abraham, and Jethro was a godly man of integrity who played a small part in God's great story of deliverance. And he is a good role model in laws. He offered wise counsel. He will step in to help when needed. He is the father-in-law of Moses. When Jethro heard about what God did to Moses and the people of Israel, he was rejoiced. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods." Then Jethro made sacrifice to God in every feasted. The next day, Moses set to judge the people, and they stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "Moses, what are you doing? Why sit by yourself alone? With all the people standing around from morning until evening," Moses answered, "It is because the people come to me inquire of God. When they have an issue, they come to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and so I make them understand God's statutes and his laws." Jethro said, "This is not right." Retorted his father-in-law, "You will tire yourself and the people out. Now heed my voice. I shall advise you. You be a representative to God and teach the people of the path God seeks to them. Then find capable men who fear God, and trustworthy men shall spurn ill-gotten gain. So this man over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and let them exercise authority over the people at all times, and they will decide the minor disputes and bring the major disputes to you. What do you think?" Did Moses hear the advice of his father-in-law? My message this morning is the art of delegation. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, thanks for today that you have made for us. Thank you to see my brethren coming to our congregation. Also, thank you for all the visitors that we have this morning joining us in worship, as well as those brothers and sisters who are joining us through live stream. What a joy to come before you at this time, Heavenly Father. Father, may those who are going to listen to me not see me, but see Yeshua. Use me as nail on the wall when you are willing, will hold the picture of Yeshua HaMashiach. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that we're going to pass on this morning. We ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. The art of delegation. What does delegation mean? It means to commit authority or responsibility to someone. Or is the act of empowering others to accomplish a task. So what does it mean to delegate? To delegate is to commit a task to someone or to entrust to another, empower another person to act. I remember when Nehemiah heard about the walls of Jerusalem was destroyed. In Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned 4 days. And I continued fasting and praying before God of heaven." Through this passage, or through this verse, we can see here the real concern of Nehemiah was about the wall of Jerusalem that was destroyed. Remember, you will never build the walls of your life until you have first become greatly concerned about the ruins. And you will never rebuild the walls of your life until you first wept of the ruin. And you will never have a success in your life without your great concern about God's ministry. Amen? So what the Bible says about delegation? Is the Bible teach us regarding delegation? For sure, of course. From the beginning of creation, God began empower others to accomplish the task. Just like in Psalm 8 says, "What is man that are mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet." So God created animals, but he's not the one who taking care of it, right? He delegated the job of naming them to a man. He designed the ark, but he is not the one who made it. It was Noah who was entrusted with the job of building. If the God of the universe entrusted us, his creation, should we not be much quicker empowering others to act too? In Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, Yeshua explained some principles of delegation. Matthew 25, I will read it, starting from verse 14 of chapter 25. "For it is like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servant and handed over his possession to them. The one he gave 5 talents to another, 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same way, the one with 2 gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." To tell the story short, when the owners came, and prior to that, we can see through these verses, few verses, the owner delegate his property to his servant. Delegation is a trust. He entrusted his property to them. And we take into account a person's ability when we delegate. 1, he gave 5. One he gave two, one is one. Delegation means accountability to the right result. The master returned and settled accounts with them, and he said to those people who use the talent that they give it to them, he said, faithfulness with a few things is prerequisite for being in charge of many things. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in a charge of many things. Faithfulness with things precedes faithfulness with people. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of them. It's a matter of delegation. And I believe this rich guy, or this master, he gave the 5 talents, the 10 talents to his servants with their own availability and ability. Delegation is a wonderful thing, and as we continue to grow, it will become a necessity. I remember when we do the church planting way back home, as a minister, we do everything. Clean the church, arrange the chairs inside the sanctuary, lead the prayer, do the worship at the same time, do the preaching. So once the preaching starts, you're already exhausted. Why? Because you're so tired, right? You do everything, from cleaning to preaching. Delegation is important to do the growth of the congregation because it gets more and more people involved in the ministry. And there is a saying that many hands make light work. That is why we need everyone involved in ministry of some kind. And God did not intend for us to work alone. What did he say to Abraham? He said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I believe God brought us here in this congregation to help our rabbi. Like this situation. When God, Adam is not happy, or the work is so many, he said, oh, it's not good for Adam that by himself, I need to make somebody to help him. Same thing in the ministry. Don't you know that many or some of the leaders, even those people who entrusted some ministry, they are not so happy doing it because they don't like it. They are not enjoying it. And sad to say, some leaders who had position of responsibility find it too difficult to delegate the ministry. Why? First, there is an overwhelming sense of insecurity. Someone may do the job more efficiently. Second, there's a very competent attitude. No one can do it better than me. And the third, there is a driving force of ambition. If I want recognition and promotion, then I must aim at doing all the job. Do you think this is right? No. Don't you know that it is very difficult for an efficient person to delegate work to someone who is inefficient? Again, don't you know that it is very difficult for an efficient person to delegate work to someone who is inefficient. Because he was scared for many things. He failed to delegate because we don't think anyone can do the job as well as I can. Our education, my education, experience, and attitude can build walls between ourselves, those that God called us to mentor. You remember when Yeshua set out for his public ministry, one of the first things he did was to select 12 men to work with him. And most of them are fishermen. He would make them into something different. When he saw Matthew, come. When he saw Judas, come. He was inviting them, come. And he asked them to come and follow him and make them fishers of men. In a step along the way, Yeshua taught them to share with others. That's why we have a Bible study. That's why we have a Shabbat school. That's why we have a prayer meeting. Right? To connect people to God and to minister to those who were in need. And Yeshua gave the disciples hands on experience in learning to care for others. He didn't just have them to sit back and watch the people, but he set an example. Why Yeshua did these things? Because he knows there is strength when God people work together. There is strength when God's people work together. So when Jethro sees Moses trying to do his job all by himself, he said, "This isn't good. You need help." Remember, when Moses led the people out of Egypt, the Bible says, there were at least 600,000 men, and also their wives and children, which leads us to think there were about 1 million. How can you manage 1 million people by yourself? And all day long, every 2 days for almost 2 months, he has been the one who judged and made decision about every conflict and every dispute they had. So from early in the morning until late in the evening, Moses is still working. Do you think if you are the one who is waiting for Moses, are you happy? No. You're gonna be upset. He is wasting your time. But Moses cannot do anything, right? And it was true. Jethro says Moses is overly fatigued. And it is obvious that the people are not happy also with the situation. Yes, it was true to Moses. Also in our congregation, Moses was a great leader, but he had what I will call a blind spot. Moses did too much of the work alone. He always worked by himself. The Bible never mentioned that somebody will help him. Moses wasn't training others to do God's work. No one is available. But that's an excuse, right? That's an excuse. God's people must get involved in the ministry. Because our rabbi and the wife, they cannot do it by themselves. They needed you. They need us. They need us. One of the first things that we see in this passage is that Leadership can be frustrating if our priorities are not in order. Our theme this year is Put the House of God in Order. Put the House of God in order. So as leaders, as members, we need to put also ourselves, our priorities in order for us to succeed. That's why Moses' advice on everything. Moses was so very busy in what it was the beginning to get the best him. And Moses came to the point that he was burned out. In Exodus 5:22 said, Moses to say, God, what I have done that is so bad that you have given me a burden of all these people. What I have done to you, God? Why did you give me these kinds of people? Moses was making mistakes that many leader makes. Jethro came to Moses and gave him some advice. He asked two very important questions that every leader, every member must answer at some point. Do you have any idea what are these two questions? Number one, what are your priorities? What is your priorities in life? What are your priorities when it comes to the ministry? Here is the focus of the question Jethro directed to Moses in evaluating his leadership. What are your priorities? He said, what is this you are doing for the people? By asking this question, Jethro immediately forced Moses to evaluate his personal priorities. The question of priority centered on the fact that Moses must evaluate and re-examine his call from God. Did you try, or did in your prayer, did you ask God if the ministry that you have right now is truly for you? That's why there are some, they don't enjoy the ministry that they have because that's not for them. The rabbi cannot discern that. It's you. Right? So, the question of priority centered on the fact that Moses was evaluate and re-examine his call from God. Was Moses called to judge God's people? Teach people or lead God's people? Did God call him just to judge or teach or to lead? Even all the rabbis or the pastors, they have their own different abilities that they can exercise more. And through that, they will become more successful. Right? So, while Moses obviously had keen sense of responsibility, he made one of the most common mistakes in leadership. The mistake that separates good leaders from great leaders. He appeared to believe he was indispensable. Unless I do this judging, it won't get done. And this is the reason some in leadership are labeled control freaks. And they feel they have to have their finger on everything, and no one can do the job as effectively as they can. But by asking the question, Moses was forced to face the truth regarding his priority. Again, what is your priority? There's an illustration here about essentials or incidentals. One effective way to evaluate your priorities is to identify your work by what essential and what is incidental. The essentials of your work are the tasks that are absolutely crucial to ensure the success and effectiveness of your job. Everything else is incidental. The incidental are tasks that you may enjoy doing, but they are not central to the success of your particular responsibility. That's why in the ministry, sometimes God put us the ministry that we can say most of the people, they don't like it. But that is the starting point that God will lift you up. That's the starting point that God will see you if you are faithful to that things before He give you a bigger one. That's why He said, Moses, what are your priorities? What is this that you are doing? What are you trying to accomplish? And the second question has to do with personal. He said, why are you doing this alone? Moses, why are you doing this alone? Do you want to know? Do you want to be well known? Do you want to be somebody? That's why you're doing this? In verse 15, Moses says, because the people come to me and find God's will. In another way of saying that if you want your job well done, you have to do it yourself. As I've said, Jethro gave Moses some advice every leader needs to follow. Not good, he said. You need to be the people's representative before God. Your priority as a leader, as a member, first, we need to grow in our relationship with Yeshua. Leaders must find this strength in Yeshua alone. Members, your strength is from God alone, not to anybody else. Do you know what I love about Jethro? He used constructive criticism, not destructive criticism. He will not simply say, Moses, you're making a mess of these people. You're killing them. Then he didn't stop for that. But sometimes we people, when we criticize somebody, we do the destructive, not the constructive. When we say destructive, we are trying to destroy somebody. But when we say constructive, we're trying to help somebody. That's why, Moses, you're making a mess of these people and you're killing yourself in the people. And then he said, well, I have a solution for that. I can help you. So he recommended three things. First, choose a capable man who fear God. Second, teach the word. And third, train workers. This is the same picture of what Carlos read this morning when the apostle instructed the congregation to choose seven men being a leader of help. He said, and now look around among yourselves, dear brothers, and select seven men, wise and full of the Holy Spirit, who are well thought of by everyone, and will put them in charge of this business. Then we can spend our time in prayer, preaching and teaching. If our leaders, if our rabbi do everything, how can he pray? How can he go to the people and visit, hear the words of God? How can spend more time in reading or studying God's word? Right? So Jethro said to Moses, what are you doing? Your doing is not good. The work is too heavy. You have to bring disputes, the problem that needs to be solved. You've got to bring them to God. Jethro had a greatly concern to Moses and God's people. As I've said a while ago, if you don't have concern in the ministry, check out your heart. Wherever ministry, and ask yourself, why I'm doing these things? Why I am doing these things? Being a leader or member is not being giving advice. Being a leader is about who you are inside. Being a leader is not about who you are. It's about who you are inside. One of the things that disciples could not understand is why Yeshua kept wanting to get away from the crowds. First, there are two reasons. He was weary. His full schedule. He's really lots of schedules. He really wasn't trying to be alone by himself. He wanted to be alone with the Father because that's where he got his answer and that's where he got his strength. And sometimes, this is our big mistake. Sometimes we are substitute or replace being busy to the kingdom rather than busy to the king. We're so busy to the God's kingdom. We have a lot of things to do. But we forget the best one. We need to be busy to the king. A successful leader must learn the principle of delegation. Train others to do your job. A large of delegation is recruiting the right people to do the job right. People need to be in position of leadership or ministry that they may enjoy. If you don't enjoy your ministry, talk to your leader. I'm not enjoying it. This is not my ministry. Because if you like your ministry, if you enjoy your ministry, there is joy. You can serve the Lord with gladness. But if not, you're not serving the Lord at all. You're not serving in the right place. The only way to control your time as a leader is to pass on your responsibility to other that is capable. Capable means having the heart, love, care, and have a committed in the ministry. In Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Remember this. Serving from the heart is the only service God recognizes. Serving from the heart is the only service God recognizes. Even you are busy in the ministry, if your heart is not right with God, you are only wasting your time. Colossians 3:23, in whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever we do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto man. Then Jethro said to Moses, because you did a good right, you did a good thing, the people will go happy. And you will be happy too. and they will be satisfied. And also, as a leader, as a member, we should know our limitation. Don't be hero. Don't try to do everything if you don't. Right? You should know our limitation. Until you recognize that you cannot do everything, you are headed for a burnout. Learn to say yes, but make sure you are saying yes to the right things. Okay? Learn to say yes, but make sure you are saying yes to the right thing. Because service to God is a matter of commitment. Like Yeshua, he was committed completely to the will of the Father to the point of where he died on the cross. And successful leader, successful member, know their area of expertise. That is where they keep their focus. What is really your gift that God given you? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, some of us has been given a special ability. Some are apostles. To others has given the gift of being able to preach. Some have a special ability in winning people to Christ, helping them to trust Him as the Savior, and still have a gift for caring for God's people. Shepherd, that's his sheep, leading and teaching them in the ways of God. Why is it that He gave us these special abilities to do certain things best? Because it is God's people will be equipped to do better work for Him. That's why, brothers and sisters, you should know your gift, you should know your talent, so that in order for you to enjoy the ministry that God has given you. Because if you don't, you're wasting your time. Because you didn't enjoy it. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're not there anymore. Why? Because you're not happy. You don't like it. The human body is a fully functional entity with all its system. Working together, we have 11 systems in the body, including the circulatory and productive and a nervous system. Each system is working in harmony for the general well-being of the body as a whole. We have also 5 vital organs in the body, the heart and the liver being 2 of them. If we remove one or seriously damage it beyond repair, the body cannot survive. Its vital organs, thus it parks, and they are not competition, division with one another. This is a good lesson for us to work in harmony. We have a job to do as the body of Yeshua, and that is to share the gospel to the world as a witness. We don't have all the same function or responsibility, but we should work in a harmony as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 31. As Paul states, we are all part of the body of Yeshua, but we do not have the same part. Each one is in part and works in harmony with the other parts to achieve the goal set before us. Regardless of how insignificant we may think we are, we all are important, and we are all working towards the same goal, which includes the hope of achieving eternal life. In the process, we must be faithful servant. Each member of the body is potential son or daughter of God. Regardless of his or her responsibility within the body, So let us never forget the fact each one of us is precious in God's eyes. Furthermore, we should be growing in grace, in knowledge, and true love. Always remembering that no matter how small or seemingly insignificant we are, it is important that all the parts work smoothly in a harmony. Whatever ministry you are, do it all with all your heart, mind, and soul. And let us serve the Lord with gladness. Shabbat Shalom.